You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living.
Welcome to Radiant Creators. This interview is with Jonathan Teo Goucher, and a quote of his, that's a good place to start this intro. You are so much more valuable than money. Enjoy every moment with what you have. A definite theme in this interview, letting creativity show you where it wants to go today. Where does it want to take you today? Another great topic in this interview was the underrated nature of being relentless and how a bit of discipline in your creative practice can offer huge rewards. Among many aspects of this multidimensional character, being a lifelong musician, and right now he is the head crypto evangelist of Arcane Bear, a company focusing around cryptocurrency. Here at Radiant Creators, we like to interview inspiring people to inspire others. Hopefully in this interview, we captured some of the Teo elixir that can be passed on and help inspire you. More than Teo, the visionary of Arcane Bear, this interview is about Teo, the powerful creator, about living a creative life, and like already mentioned, letting creativity show you where it wants to go. So, let's get this started.
You call yourself a creator in your vlog, so you're a very prolific vlogger, and that seems to be your discipline right now, how you're cultivating creativity, something you've called yourself as a creator, and that's a great title. I mean, that's a great way to live. And you mentioned in one of your vlogs, it's how you keep yourself amused while you go through life. And then in your latest vlog on creativity, you said, let creativity show you what it wants to do today. And what's living a life like that? I mean, that's it. I'm a creator, and today I don't have an agenda. I'm going to let creativity show me what it wants to do. I mean, that's the ideal. So explain yourself, man.
Well, you know, I guess it's interesting, right? You know, my life has taken me all around the world, and none of it was expected. Where I didn't expect that these things would happen. I had a direction that I was following, but mostly the heart. Like I've been a composer and a musician my whole life. And there's a lot of stuff you couldn't have told me a few years prior to what happened next and have me believe you. So for instance, you know, when I was around 19 years old, I started hitchhiking around. I hitchhiked actually from Canada through the United States, down into Mexico, through Belize, and then into Guatemala. And during that process, I was just playing music on the side of the street. But I wouldn't have anticipated that just 2 or 3 years later, I fell in love with being an entrepreneur. I fell in love with the focus of building business. Now, my first few businesses weren't necessarily created from the heart. I didn't realize you could do that yet. I knew that there was money in search engine optimization, pay-per-click advertising, and I knew there were products that people wanted. So I was selling products to people that wanted those products. So it was an easy way for me to make residual income. When I started Arcane Bear, I didn't realize that it would do so well. It was just something I was like, okay, I know how I can turn a news channel into a residual source of income. I own my own house now. I own my own property. It has its own food. I have solar there. I also own a small ginger tonic company in Costa Rica, so I was set. Arcane Bear for me was just kind of like a pet project. But what ended up happening was as we got all this momentum into the digital asset system, we garnered all these Bear family members. You know, people, a lot of people call them subscribers, but to me, you guys are all family members. Without you, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. Or I guess I could, but it would be less supportive of an overall vision. And a lot of the people that have been so supportive, they're supportive because of that more esoteric or that eclectic nature that we bring to the channel. So I was doing vlogs intermittently from the beginning because, if you look back at some of my other older channels, you can if you really dig around, you can find them. But they're all music and movie mixed together. So for me to find this new audience and like this supportive community I figured it was a great chance to share the things that I loved about music and share the things I loved about content creation. And it's just, it's been such an interesting ride because it was one of those things that I didn't anticipate. I didn't anticipate how much I would actually like vlogging. I mean, I didn't even realize that it was a thing. So finding people like Casey Neistat, which is one of the signature places from the sunglasses, and there's actually a very pragmatic reason to this as well, but finding other people that were doing the same thing and how they were good at it, studying what they were good at, the same way I studied music, by looking at the qualities and the nature of each of these different musicians or these creators that I liked, and kind of mimicking what they did, but through the way I like to express too. So the last little while, I started doing a vlog every day. So tonight, I've got a bunch of the content of me getting on the plane, flying over here. And it's only maybe 4 or 5 minutes that I have to put together, but it's a daily process that like I was saying, it really pushes me to find out what creativity is. And sometimes you kind of like, you have a melody in your mind and you go and you play that melody, but the really, really unique and powerful stuff is often when there's no intention to create something specific. And that's what the vlog was about yesterday. Yes, that was yesterday. It was just about letting creativity or the flow of life kind of lead you into where it was. So I I was up super late doing an interview with Thomas Campbell. So when I woke up in the morning, I didn't have enough energy to actually ponder what I wanted to do. So I figured the fact that I didn't know what I wanted to do was as good enough a good enough reason as any to talk about that. And that's something really interesting. I think a lot of creators, whether you're an artist or a musician, you get hung up on the perfectionism of creating something, like looking for what you want to create, instead of just creating anything and allowing that to be perfect. You know, I made it a rule of thumb when I was younger to always delete the scratch edits, and just as soon as I was done producing something, that was it. It was kind of more set in stone. Because if I didn't, I would find myself going back and tweaking and editing, and I would never produce anything. This way, especially with the daily vlogs, the goal is to produce content every day and not get hung up on, you know, the small things, because it forces you to not be a perfectionist. And in this way, you know, today will be vlog 11, but it's a struggle of finding new creative juice every day. And that's something that I really appreciate. And I think, again, a lot of people are held back by trying to be too perfectionist in what they create. And when you do stuff like this, you don't have that option. Oh, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I find that perfectionism kills more creativity than anything else. I think there's no greater killer of creativity than perfectionism. You know, you just gotta just kick it out there. You know, it's like getting in. So your creative practice, like your creative discipline, it kind of helps you connect to your signal, to that flow, to that current of life, and then it just shows you where you want to go. And so it seems like you're following the excitement, the insights, the bliss. You're doing Joseph Campbell's thing. You're following your bliss. So, and it's not necessarily easy. You have to like wipe some sweat off your brow and actually like do this creative, almost tension every day, this kind of creative challenge. It's like creativity, being a creator doesn't just happen. You have to have, gosh, a discipline to it.
Yeah.
And so that's your discipline. I like it.
Yeah, being relentless is often highly overlooked. That people think that, look, there's a lot to be said about positive thinking and positive, like envisioning yourself in a positive place, but you're not going to get there unless you put the hard work in. And there's a distinct difference between, okay, I'm positively thinking about what I want to create, and I'm positively like reinforcing the fact that I'm able to create those things. But unless you kind of like put your head down and do all the hard work, nothing good will come, or not nothing good, but nothing will happen. You just, because there's so much friction in life. Life is almost like a system of tension. And that when you play the tension properly, you get a beautiful release. But without that tension, there, you don't have those beautiful releases. So, you know, really diving in and trying to do whatever you want to do on a daily basis, even if it's only an hour a day, over the course of your lifetime, you will achieve mastery in the field that you're studying. And that's a highly overlooked. When I was a musician, when I first started, I was trying to put 5, 6, 8 hours a day into study and play. And it drives you into the ground where, you know, maybe only doing an hour or two a day is all you need. Because 25 years down the road, when you look back, you'll realize that you've achieved such a high level of creative juice or flow, because it's that little day-by-day stuff. So I've been playing the drum kit for over half my life now, and to the point where I don't even have to play or study every day, and I go back and I'm better than I was before, because you're connecting new places in your brain for that creative consciousness that you're trying to express, that part of your, like, your deeper self that you want to share. And even though I never had an audience with any of the music, it never stopped me from creating. And it never, I mean, I played with a few rock bands, I played with a few jazz folk, I did some touring and stuff, but I never like hit the really big upstroke with music. You know, I came up in a time where if I was born maybe 30 years earlier before the internet, it would have been easier to have like gold records or something. But with the internet, you know, a big part of what the decentralization of something like Bitcoin or blockchain allows is that there was never digital scarcity when I grew up. So I was able to, I'm still able to download any album that I want, any movie that I want. It's free for me to like consume that content. And this is the first time we've really seen digital scarcity. So I think there's a lot of big red flags in the regular ecosystem, places like Facebook or YouTube, but they're actually on a decline. Now, first off, I love YouTube, because without YouTube, I wouldn't have found this new creative love for making film and video. But at the same point, they don't support their content creators as much as they could. They support the advertisers more than the people that actually bring the community together. And that's a fault of a lot of companies. Facebook does that. Twitter does that. The only reason they're worth so much money is because you and I share content, and the people that we love and love us are on there too, and we follow and share with each other. But if you didn't have all those valuable content creators, then they're not worth anything. So it's a really valid question to ask. Well, in Mark Zuckerberg's, if any of you guys managed to make it through a few hours of that conversation with the Senate hearing, one of the senators actually asked him, you know, you tell us we own all of our data. Don't you think we should get a chunk of that advertising revenue? And he didn't even really address that part of the question, which was, I guess, smart of him. But it's a very valid question. If you own all of your data, why are you not getting paid for it? So companies like Datum, they brought some of this into the forefront, you know, where you can buy devices that lock your private data. And if you want to sell it to a company like Google, you have the option to do that. But we're not given those options right now. But on a monthly basis, you probably make enough from your general content creation to live the life that you want. So what technology originally offered us, you know, this ability to work less, to find more freedom, to share time with loved ones, that's right underneath the surface of all of this that's taking place. And it's really just around the corner, I think, to find a new bloom in the ecosystem. Because companies like Steemit, even though it's a clunky GUI, it has no real network growth effect because of this, they've proven that you can, when your content is created on a smaller scale like that, you should be getting paid way more money. And not only that's immutable on the blockchain too, so there's all these advantages to digital scarcity and digital identity that we didn't have before. Now, obviously there's downfalls in here, but this is the one of the things that drove me forward. Because I realized that tech isn't going anywhere, and I can't just sit in the jungle, grow my food, and be happy, because this is a place and time where it feels like the story is being written by us, and that peaceful revolution is being formed by the creators. If we're these creators of not just content, but of the lives we live, we have to create a better story. Otherwise, there's going to be dumb, malevolent contracts that are being written that aren't in the favor of the community or the people. So if you want to write smarter, loving, more benevolent contracts, you have to do something about it. Because who else is going to do what you're capable of doing? And that's that's something that really drove me to start Arcane Bear. There's a bunch of prolific stuff we're hoping to launch, but if not, even at this level, we've achieved something so successful. I mean, there's a few times I've pushed to the side what I've been really wanting to do because of the business aspect, but one of my main goals here was, okay, I know that I can make enough money to do whatever I want. I can make enough money to do whatever I want in almost any business plan right now because I know I've done it before. There's little holding me back if you know that you can do it. So the first $10,000 in entrepreneur is always the hardest. Once you break $10,000, the hardest next bit is making $100,000. But once you've done it, you can go all the way back to zero and you know how to get back there, even if you have to take a different path. So I think a year down the road, I would like to do from $2 as a street musician to $100,000 a year company, because a lot of people don't realize that if you take your time and your energy and you focus it somewhere else, like 8 hours a day at a job, that's a massive amount of your time being sucked away. If you focus it into something else, you can make way more money and have way more freedom. And that's what this technology is offering. It's one of the reasons why I think the revolution can be so peaceful, is because if people realize that they're more in control of their life, instead of just giving their power away to governments and all these other obsolete ecosystems, that there's so much more that can be accomplished. And the people that I've met in this space, I had a fantastic dinner with a few people that have spoken at the World Economic Forum at Davos. And I would have never believed that I would be friends with those people, because I used to have in my mind that there was some big conspiracy that's trying to control us. And I don't think that's the case. I've done a bunch of research into mathematics, the philosophy, religions, and the parallels between the mathematics of what's... Okay, I'm going to... I don't know how many people...
Go for it.
How many people are on your... you think will hear this?
Oh, probably, I guess, looking at our... I'd say... at least 1,500, probably. I mean, at least it depends. That's kind of the minimum. It depends on every interview. Kind of has its own life. So figure a couple thousand people. But we're all about like, we like to be the people who go out there. So like, yeah, don't have any boundaries. We're more like into you and the person more than like what they do. We're like, hey, that inspiration that you have, we want to kind of distill that, get a little bit of that elixir that people can listen, and then they kind of do that tincture and they go, whoa, now I've got it. So like, go all out. Nothing's too crazy.
Yeah. So here's one of the abstract things. I looked through some of the comments on the Arcane Bear's feed, and there's a few people that I assume are Christians or something like this. Now, I've studied a lot of the Bible and the Hebrew texts and some of the Aramaic texts that aren't even allowed in the Bible because they distinctly destroy what it is the church has created. Now, if you remove all of the dogma and the ridiculousness, there's a few parallels that underlie a lot of it that are based in mathematics. For instance, the devil, his number is 666, a very apparent number. It's seen as this bad thing. So this is me jumping from this big conspiracy theory to try to break down what I think is just a human experience in mathematics. So I played music my whole life. On the musical scale, you have C, D, F, G, A, B, C. It's a repeating infinite scale. Technically, it goes forever. It just, as it gets higher, you can't hear it. As it goes lower, you can't hear it. But as it gets higher or lower, that's not really the point of interest we're looking at. Take one solid spectrum from C to C, and in that, you have seven notes. There's three lower notes and four upper notes. It's identical. You can parallel it almost identically to the chakra system, or less, maybe theosophically, to just the rainbow itself, that there's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, and it keeps repeating outside of the spectrum of the light that we can no longer see, into gamma rays, x-rays. And that division of the three notes against the four notes is actually where you get this 666 repeated forever. And there's a really kind of intrinsic relationship between the lower three notes and the upper four notes. In the chakra system, the lower three notes are all about survival, sex, and ego. It's who you are and where you are in the world. But the upper four notes are, in the chakra system, are all the, like, creativity, your heart, your spiritual eye, and like your crown self. So in a book called The Secret Sayings of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of Thomas, it's the only Aramaic text that we have, which is the language that Yeshua or Jesus would have supposedly spoken. Now, there's a lot of references to these mathematical understandings that are way beyond the average person's understanding. Like, thought process, because you're not going to think to yourself, oh, I'm going to divide 2 by 3 and there's the devil. Well, this division repeats itself infinitely, and it's not a bad character. It's a part of God. It's a part of the divine itself. It's a part of mathematics. It's a part of the simulated reality. It exists and permeates everywhere. So what's happened, it is somewhat by choice, because we find specific, like there's an agenda here, because people that are driven by fear, like Thomas Campbell was saying, or their will to survive, it's all for me, like this is what I need. And that's a valid part of how animals should survive. We live in a chaotic world that will, the consequences of sometimes not cooperating will kill you. So this whole idea of this devilish thing that's been taken over all the world's governments, there's one thing that's wrong with that idea, and it's that's not in tune with the larger spectrum. And from everything I've studied, from everyone that I've met, like I have a friend that turned a $500 investment into what's now a multi-billion-dollar-a-year company. He resonates the same idea. Is if you want to be extremely successful, you have to create products and services that are valuable for other people. You have to do stuff for others. Now, you can volunteer, you can go to charities, orphanages, you can help people however you want, but it's really doing things for others that provides you the most value in life. So I get all these weird comments from people like, oh, you're like, you know, I'm showing a picture of Buddha, and they're like, oh, you know, like you're going to hell for this. It's like, how is it that no one decides to want to study or ask any deeper questions about why were these numbers in place? Like, you know, the 777, 888, these are all found in music. Pythagoras did a fantastic job with his monochord of kind of showing in a very simplistic rendition of how the universe probably functions. And it actually aligns with what Thomas Campbell, our last guest, was saying, that consciousness doesn't necessarily even exist in this field of reality. Consciousness creates this reality by vibrating it or something. So there's a few, you start to see all these aligning parallels in the story. So for me, you know, once I realized that there's no big, like, overarching conspiracy, and I'm friends with the people that are speaking at the World Economic Forum, and if I do a good job, I'm speaking at the World Economic Forum, then we're the elite. We're the people that control this story. So if we're the people that control the story, if we're the people that are driven by greed and fear and the lower chakras, then that's what we'll get. It's not like this overarching conspiracy. It's just a natural play of events. It's a consequence to those people living in an animalistic state, which should be understood as just that. We came from a place where survival is based off, well, if I need, like, the bear is a great, you know, rendition of that. The bear needs a certain amount of food to make it through the winter. You know, he's not generally an angry animal unless he's provoked. He'll save and save and make it through. But if they don't have enough to make it through, they will perish and die in those circumstances. So we have these animal instincts to forage and to build up enough savings to make it through those long, cold, harsh winters. That's one of the reasons why I chose the bear, not the bull. I mean, I like the bear as a family-oriented, like, gatherer that stores things and that's not generally angry unless provoked. And that's a key sentiment. So, and also on like a rougher angle too, arcane means mysterious and hidden. So arcane bear, if you remove the spelling of B-E-A-R and just think bear, arcane bear can almost literally be translated as something mysterious and hidden, naked, like an unveiled version of the occult, you know, or the esoteric. So for me, this wasn't just a way to make money. This was a way to try to communicate value, the values that I had understood to a significantly deeper level. On the surface layer, you know, it's really easy. A lot of the community comes into the digital asset space because they think it's a quick way to make money, and it can be. Like, if you invested in Bitcoin 10 years or 8 years ago, you could have an enormous amount of money, but that might not necessarily change the wealth or the richness of your life, because a very short way down the road, you'll be like, oh, I've got all the $100,000 sports cars and $10 million homes, which I've spent time living in and spent time driving, and those don't bring value or richness to your life. So for me, this communication that I've entered with this larger supportive ecosystem has really helped me realize that, well, we can, if we can put me at Davos as a speaker, then there's no Illuminati, because then we are the elite. You just have to choose to focus your energy in a direction that's valuable to you and harness it. Maybe you're a musician and it doesn't end up on that, like, in that particular place. But for me, it seems to be going that way. I've always been really interested in why the hell is my name written in all capital letters from like 13 years old. I've wanted a diplomatic passport. What fucking 13-year-old kid thinks to himself, I want a diplomatic passport in another country? Because when I was a kid, I had not normal dreams of what I thought would be cool, because I realized that these governments are nothing but corporations that have sold us out for tax money. And that's a concept a lot of people stray away from, because a lot of people want to be led, and that's not a bad thing. We have a tendency to want to be like, here's your job, here's what you need to do, come to work at this time, leave at this time. It's okay to be like, to have a routine and have someone give it to you. But what's difficult is that means people could take advantage of you a lot easier. So for me, this whole process has been wildly exciting and also invigorating too, because I have a very good friend, and I realized early on that there's a lot of stuff I just won't say. There's a lot of problems we know that are likely true, not even worth talking about. They're disgusting, horrendous. Like, the governments have killed 10 millions of people, children, women, you know, where there's massive amount of other crazy shit going on. So we don't need to address that. In the movie Fight Club, the way that he was able to do whatever he was doing was to not talk about Fight Club. So that's what we do. We don't even focus on any of the problems that are there. We focus strictly on the solutions that we have right in front of us. And that's what Arcane Bear is unveiling this mystery of value and richness inside oneself. Now, I make all my own mistakes. You know, I go through my own trials and tribulations. There's days when I'm not aligned. I'm angry and I'm upset. Like, when there's no, like, I was staying in Bali and there's no internet. I'm like, fucking Bali with no internet. Like, what the hell is this? You know, so we still have moments where we're not perfect. And you have to be okay with that, because I don't expect to be that balanced character until I get to my contemplative stage. It might be 70 years old when you get to the point where you're like, nice, I'm just going to sit and watch life unfold and be okay as everything happens around me. But I'm not one of those people, especially right now at a young age. I'm 31 years old. I have all the vigor to change the world. I'm not going to let it bend me. I'm going to try to bend the world itself.
Oh, I like that. Well, it seems like you're reinforcing the reality that your life is important. And I think everyone's life is important. And that's a great inspiration for people, because most people, they go through life without realizing their life is important. And it's like using Facebook, using YouTube in a way, like, and they're fine. But the thing about them is that it's still actually kind of an employee mentality, because they're making the money and you're not. When you're putting content on Facebook, you're making Facebook money. When you're putting content on YouTube, you're making YouTube money. You're making just a little bit. It's the same as going to a corporate job. They're big corporations and they were made in that model. And now with like Steemit, Mines is now doing like a Mines coin. And I think BitChute is has a crypto too. So now social media is beginning to actually, you know, it start now people that can take themselves seriously, they can say, I'm important, I have value, my content has value. Now they're making the money, and there's no, in a way, it's funny when you're talking, it really makes me realize that, you know, when you're using Facebook, when you're using YouTube, you really are going to a corporate job.
Yeah.
You are. You're like,
hey. And no one's paying you.
Yeah.
No one's paying you. Well, they hit a good point, though. I mean, we are animals driven by chemical synapse, and that's essentially what a like or a view does. It provides you a neurochemical response. It's simple. We get that in life too. Like, if someone walks by the street and smiles at you or says, hey, you look good in blue, you know, that's we reflect on that and it makes us feel good. It's why they were able to take advantage of it, is because they're taking advantage to some degree of a very primal part of us, which is the part of us that likes to be appreciated, that likes to be accepted or understood or seen for who we are. But you're valuable for that reason. So it's a changing tide in systems. And the more we open our minds and or hearts and minds to these changes, the easier the revolution becomes, because we are all in control of what happens next. And that's, I think, a lot of the things that get taken away from you when you think that there's some big conspiracy taking place. It seems like it's so much. It would be so much harder to do anything about it. But it's not. You can. I mean, I think there's time. Like, I think 40 years ago, you would be battling an uphill wave because the governments were still on an upstroke. We didn't have the technology to communicate on a global basis, and that's changed everything. Because we can see that it's not just my government or their government; it's all the governments that suck. Like, they don't do a good job, and they don't have our interests in mind. They write rules and laws, and they have inspectors for inspectors, and everything is lost in an ecosystem that doesn't really support the individual. It supports the system instead of the person. And that's what we need to tear down. We need people to be supported by the system, not the system supported by the people. And that will be a painful change as we go through it. And it'll likely happen over the next, I'm hopeful and I envision, or sorry, I vision that it will happen over the next 10 to 20 years.
Oh yeah, definitely. I hope that it does. Well, there's a great spiritual author, Stuart Wilde. He wrote some amazing books. And one of the things he said that I always loved, he's like, look, man, you got to realize all the governments let down all of the people all of the time. And so once you realize that, it just changes your life. You see things differently. So I hope that I do see you, you know, speaking at Davos. I think right now, what do you think? There is a lot of people call it the ascension. There's a lot of words for it, but a lot of people, it seems like right now, people have a bit of light. They're awake. They have this little shard of light in them, their soul. They feel it. And a lot of people go, I'm going to put this in a drawer and hide this because I wouldn't want it to get out, you know. But some people, they're like, I'm going to wear it around my neck and just let it shine, you know. So people who have that self-awareness and are willing to do it because it's fun, only game in town, it seems like the universe is accelerating them. Like once you connect to your signal, your soul, once you get attached to that current, like it will put you at Davos lecturing. So people who were, you know, making a few dollars a day a couple of years ago are now lecturing at Davos soon. It seems like there's something happening in humanity. At least that's something I feel. There is an evolution happening rapidly right now.
It makes sense. I've got Thomas Campbell coming on again tonight, so I actually have to have a nap and wake up at 2 a.m. to chat with him again. But we had Bruce Lipton on the show, Dean Radin. They all are reflecting the same idea that we're significantly more in control of this experience than we're led to believe. And the perception of that is extremely important, because if we don't realize how much energy we are, like we're a vast source of capable creativity, of support for others, the majority of the time. And there's a great small experiment, I think, that does this. Is, okay, they bring everyone in the room and they say, in the next room, we've got all these balloons, and in each one of these balloons is your name. Go into that room, we've got 5 minutes, find your name. And everyone runs into the room, they're popping balloons, and names are being thrown all over the place, and right? And maybe 15% of the people come out of that room with their names. They bring everyone back. They say, okay, let's do the same thing again, but this time, go to the room and help everyone find each other's name.